Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The four-legged search and rescue team at Southeast Alaska Dogs Organized for Ground Search, or Sea Dogs, have used their powerful noses to help out in all kinds of crises. But the distractions and hazards of an urban disaster are something the dogs don't get to train for very often. As KTOO's Anna Kiani reports, a simulated disaster in Lemon Creek this weekend gave them some much-needed practice.
Wren, a black and white border collie, is weaving through barrels, climbing over snow berms, and hopping over the piles of splintered timber and hunks of blue plastic that are scattered beneath her paws. With her nose to the ground, she's picking up the scent of some old moose bones scattered in the gravel nearby, and a bucket of food buried somewhere deep in the snow. But after a few minutes of sniffing, she narrows in on the smell she's looking for. Wren pokes her head into the smashed windows of a junked minivan, and out comes a person in a bright red jacket. Dog handler Marcy Larson says Wren is one of Alaska Sea Dog's best.
Wren worked on the Wrangell slide.
And the obstacle course she just ran through is set up to simulate scenarios like that, where disasters hit more populated places. In this case, a snowy parking lot in Lemon Creek has been set up as a rough imitation of an avalanche coming down on a neighborhood, a realistic scenario for Juno. The course features distracting smells to imitate the kinds of things that might get caught up in an urban disaster.
There's going to be refrigerators of food out there, and there's going to be laundry, and we don't want our dogs alerting on that. We want our dogs alerting on people.
And junk, which is scattered across the snow and ice to simulate hazards like crushed houses, splintered trees, and toxic waste.
Even something simple as the chips, the wood chips that are out here. That seems like it'd be really simple, but it's, you know, some dogs that have never experienced that are like, what is this?
For the Sea Dogs, urban disaster search and rescue is an important skill set. But Mike Pilling, one of the most senior handlers, said it's not the only skill these dogs have to know.
For Southeast, since we're kind of in a bubble here, we don't have a road system. So if anything happens, we're it. And we're one of the few places in the country, few teams in the country, that we kind of have to do it all.
Pilling's own dog, Tilly, is the oldest dog on the team. And she finds her fake avalanche victim the fastest. Over the years, the stout brown and white mutt has been trained and certified to dig people out of backcountry avalanches and track down missing people in the wilderness or out on the water.
I've always tried to train our dogs to find anybody anywhere.
But to succeed in an urban environment, the dogs actually have to learn when to work against some of their other training instincts.
Cora, come!
For instance, the first time Cora, a German Shepherd, runs the course, she keeps her nose glued to the ground, the way she would in a missing persons case. And she can't track down her fake avalanche victim. With a bit of correction, she does better on the second run. She keeps her head up and catches a scent on the wind, which leads her to Pilling, who's buried in a culvert that's hidden behind a heavy wooden pallet. Since Cora can't dig him out like she would in a backcountry avalanche, she learns to wait patiently until her handler comes to help her.
Good girl.
Getting dogs familiar with an urban disaster setting is vital, but it's a challenge. Pilling has trained four of his own dogs on an obstacle course like this one.
Usually after the second dog, you need counseling.
He said perfecting even one discipline of canine search and rescue can take up to 2 years. In Juno, I'm Anna Canny.
A Ketchikan-born artist has been selected to visually represent this year's celebration event, the every-other-year gathering of Indigenous people in Southeast Alaska. Nick Allen Foote, whose Tlingit name is Gat Huich, is a member of the Raven Moiety in the Dog Salmon Clan. He's a Seattle-based artist but credits the landscape of Southeast and his upbringing in Ketchikan as his inspiration for the winning design.
The theme of celebration this year is Together We Live in Balance. And so I was just trying to think of, like, overall iconic symbols that represent, like, balance and harmony.
According to an announcement from the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, Foote's winning image, titled Sacred Embrace, captures that balance by blending elements of multiple Alaska Native cultures. In his artist statement, Foote described the composition as a spirit and a human positioned across from each other with arms extended in a connected embrace, signifying the deep connection between Alaska Natives and spirituality. Within this embrace are a raven and an eagle, positioned on opposite sides, which Foote says is meant as a tribute to the vital relationships within and between Native communities. Foote says that art is also how he maintains a connection to his heritage.
Like, I've always kind of done art, but I think when I moved down to Seattle, it's definitely when I starting to miss home, and it was like my connection to, you know, Alaska and, you know, who I am. It's definitely my connection. I think that's how, like, a lot of other Indigenous people feel with their artwork.
Towards the core of the design, which almost seems to swirl as you view it, is a salmon. Foote says the salmon is a strong symbol of the intrinsic bond Alaska Natives have with nature and its crucial role in life's balance. 18 Native artists from Alaska and the lower 48 submitted 21 pieces for consideration. Foote's design will be the main visual SHI will use on all Celebration 2024 materials. And in this week's episode of Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Akquan and Beyond, Axel Briette Gillum is a co-owner of Cosmic Debris, a vintage Alaskana shop that began from his interest in thrifting and fashion. Briette Gillum grew up in Homer before moving to Juneau in 2015, and it's life in Alaska that inspires which items he sells.
My name is Axel Briette Gillum, and I am the owner of Cosmic Debris. We initially started the shop as kind of a pop-up situation, so, you know, markets at the Jack, the Mendenhall Mall had some Saturday markets. We would go to those and have a pop-up and kind of have our things, and then we kind of spontaneously found the space that we are now. So, yeah, to find us, we're basically at the corner of North Franklin and 2nd Street is where High Tide Tattoo is. And then if you just go up North Franklin Street a little bit, we're the first door on that same blue building. And you'll go up some nice stairs, and then we're the first door that you see. And when you come in, it's basically three rooms that are connected to each other. And so we come to the room that has all of the clothes. We have racks that are just vintage clothing that has fun colors, fun patterns, fun styles. You know, I like these. We have some of these pieces that are from the early 90s when there was this kind of Western wear thing going on. I enjoy those a lot. I think those are fun. And then we keep coming into the space. My favorite part of the store, which is the vintage Alaska clothing. So we have, this is a jacket for Eagle Quality Centers. When I was a little kid in Homer, it's now a Safeway. But when I was a kid, it was an Eagle Quality Center. So, old Super Bear jacket with the old Super Bear logo on it, you know. So, yeah, jackets like that, super fun. And then we have vintage Alaska sweatshirts and then T-shirts as well. So now we're kind of in the, I call it the cashier room. It's where the front counter is. We have our TV with our cassette deck. And then, yeah, we have these flags here. I got these online from a guy in Ohio, and what's significant about them is they have the 49 stars for when Alaska joined the United States, and 1959 was the only year that there was a flag that had 49 stars because of December of 1959, Hawaii became a state. And then another thing that we also have that is vintage Alaska related is things like postcards, press photos. So yeah, things like that. We have a Patsy Ann postcard from the 1930s. And when I'm picking out items or looking at items, I'm often thinking of there's probably people out there that would connect to this thing. But like one good example is I had a 1990s Anchorage Aces. So there's used to be the Alaska Aces is the hockey team that we used to have up here. And before they were called the Alaska Aces, they were called the Anchorage Aces. And so it was a jersey from the 1990s that had Anchorage Aces on it. And then, so I had a cowbell as well that had, you know, the season 97-96 on it. But I had that up and for sale, and I had a guy come in, and his dad played on the Anchorage Aces. And so he was just so incredibly excited to see it. He was so excited to, like, get it for his dad and to, like, have it. And so, and then moving into the last room, currently it is our halibut coat room. And then the exciting development, this is like the new exciting development, is a chain stitch machine. And so what this is for doing like custom embroidery, and it's hand operated. So there's a crank underneath that I use to control the direction that the needle is going in. And, you know, right now we're running it, you know, this is kind of a slow mode, you know, not going too crazy fast right now. I need to work on my T's, but it almost says KTOO. Going into the future, I'm going to be doing basically vintage jackets, vintage clothing, and then doing direct-to-garment embroidery on those things of things related to Juno's history.
That was Tongass Voices with Axel Briette-Gillum. You're listening to KTOO.